Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 30 November 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have noted that in point five, equal privilege of election is the universal priesthood of the church age believer. We are all royal priests and represent ourselves before the Lord. And then in point six, the equal opportunity under election is the divine provision of logistical grace, blessing, and support. And we have studied the first seven subpoints under that. Subpoint eight, all logistical grace blessing in the Christian life comes in this manner to all believers, baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, winner believers, loser believers, all believers. All logistical grace blessing in the Christian life comes in this manner to all believers. Now, we don't earn it. We don't deserve any of it. This is the provision from the grace of God. Nine, God blesses you with logistical grace blessings because you have His imputed righteousness indwelling you. That's the key. God blesses you with these fantastic logistical grace blessings because you have His imputed righteousness indwelling you. Ten, the very air that you breathe, the food that you eat, everything you have, the only reason you are alive through every situation and circumstance of life is based entirely upon logistical grace, blessing, and support. The very air that you breathe, the food that you eat, everything you have, the only reason you are alive through every situation and circumstance of life is based entirely upon the logistical grace and blessing and support from God. 11, our logistical grace, blessing, and support is a matter of the grace of God, just as our salvation is a matter of the grace of God. We are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, and we are sustained by grace. So our logistical grace, blessing, and support is a matter of the grace of God, just as our salvation is a matter of the grace of God. That brings us to point 7, conclusion. Conclusion. 1, therefore, the equal privilege and equal opportunity of election to privilege means that there never has been and never will be a church-age believer who did not have exactly the same privilege and same opportunity to, 1, to fulfill the plan of God, 2, to reach spiritual maturity, 3, to receive the fantastic greater grace blessings provided for him by God the Father in eternity past. So therefore, the equal privilege and equal opportunity of election to privilege means there never has been and never will be a church-age believer who did not have exactly the same privilege and the same opportunity to fulfill God's plan, to attain spiritual maturity, to receive the fantastic greater grace blessings provided for him by God the Father in eternity past. And 2, under the doctrine of the divine decrees, election cannot be divorced from predestination. Election cannot be divorced from predestination. This is under the divine decrees. Predestination is the provision of the sovereign will of God for the royal family. Predestination provides equal privilege, union with Christ, and equal opportunity, the unique spiritual life, to execute God's plan for you in the church age. All right, so Romans 8, 29 and 30, halfway through, sounds like this. We know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew, step one in the five steps to glory, he also predestined, step two, to become conformed to the appearance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren, the royal family of God. Verse 30. And whom he predestined, these same ones he also elected to privilege. That's step 3 in the five steps to glory. Now that brings us to step number 4 in the five steps to glory, and that is justification. In the King James, we always start with the King James, and whom he called, elected to privilege, them he also justified. Now we have the conjunction kai used twice here. It's used at the beginning of this phrase and at the end. And then we have the accusative plural of the relative pronoun hos, and then the aorist active indicative of the verb kaleo, and then the accusative plural of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, and then the aorist active indicative of dikaiao. So we have the conjunction kai used twice. The first conjunction kai is a connective kai, and you simply translate that and. And then we have the accusative plural of the relative pronoun hos. H-O-S, hos. And the relative pronoun hos, you translate that whom and whom, and then the verb kaleo. And that's the verb that we had for step three, election to privilege. Looks like that in the Greek. That's K-A-L-E, long O, kaleo. And again, kaleo literally means to call, or to name, or to designate, or to summon, or to invite. But kaleo is used here in the technical sense for the doctrine of election to privilege. The accusative plural of the demonstrative pronoun houtos looks like this. And when I, this right, that's called, that's a breathing mark. That's the letter H in the Greek. That's H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And the demonstrative pronoun houtos is correctly translated these same ones, church age believers, royal family of God. Now the second use of the conjunction chi is the adjunctive use of chi. And the adjunctive use of chi is translated also. Also. So the second use is adjunctive chi, you translate it also. And then we have the verb for justification. Okay, I'm glad you're still alive and breathing out there. D-I-K-A-I-O, long O. Dikaiao. All right, well, this is absolutely a verb that is loaded with such tremendous truth for each one of us as royal family of God. So a couple of things. One, dikaiao means to declare one to be righteous. To declare one to be righteous. Two, it's oftenly translated to justify. But it literally means to declare one to be righteous, to justify. Three, to vindicate. Four, to treat one as righteous. To declare one to be righteous, to justify, to vindicate, to treat one as righteous. Two, from this verb, dikaiao, we have the noun dikaiosune. Looks like that in the Greek. That's D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E, dikaiosune. And dikaiosune is the noun righteousness. So from the verb dikaiao, to declare one to be righteous, we have the noun dikaiosune, that's the noun righteousness, and we have the adjective dikaios. D-I-K-A-I-O-S, dikaios, that's the adjective that means righteous. So, dikaiao, the verb, to declare one to be righteous. From that verb, dikaiosune, righteousness, adjective, dikaios, righteous. Three, notice back here, see that right there? That's the a-o ending. Now, if you don't prepare for the ministry, and that's... if you have the gift of pastor-teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. And one of the things in preparing for the ministry is you learn the Koine Greek that the New Testament was written in and Hebrew and Aramaic that the Old Testament was written in. If you don't, you will never see or know what is being, what God, the Holy Spirit, is saying here. This is principles of absolute truth of the Word of God, and God, the Holy Spirit, put it there to communicate truth. But if you don't study from the original languages, you'll never see the truth that is there. You'll be teaching, but it's like you'll be up here at this level and not down here at this level. Okay, the a-o ending of the verb dikaiao is causative. In the Koine Greek, it's causative. In other words, point four, God the Father is caused or motivated to declare the one who believes in Christ to be righteous. God the Father is caused or motivated to declare the one who believes in Jesus Christ to be righteous. Five, this is because he has imputed his righteousness to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So this is because he has imputed his righteousness to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. So we have, and whom he called, elected to privilege, these same ones he also justified, declared righteous. All right, well, the doctrine of justification. The doctrine of justification. Point one is definition. Subpoint one, justification is an official judicial act of God the Father. It's an official judicial act of God the Father declaring one to be righteous. Justification is an official judicial act of God the Father declaring one to be righteous. Point two. There are two justifications in the Bible. Two justifications in the Bible. There is phase one justification, and there is phase two justification. Phase one justification is at salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. That's phase one justification, at the moment of faith in Christ at salvation. Phase two justification is at the point of spiritual maturity. Phase two justification. And we'll be studying both of these. And both are very important, very powerful. Three, phase one justification is the imputation of God's absolute righteousness to the believer at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the moment of salvation. So phase one justification is the imputation of God's absolute righteousness to the believer at the moment of faith in Christ. At that moment of when you believe in Jesus Christ, God the Father imputes his righteousness to you, and he declares you to be righteous. He declares that you have his perfect righteousness, and therefore you are justified, vindicated. So at the moment of your faith in Christ, God the Father declares you to have His perfect righteousness, therefore you are justified, vindicated. 4. Phase 2 justification occurs at spiritual maturity. Occurs at spiritual maturity when God the Father declares the spiritually mature believer to have grace righteousness. Now, all right. So there's God's perfect righteousness, phase one justification. Here's when you attain spiritual maturity, grace righteousness. You see, it's a lot quicker. You don't have to write out grace righteousness. You put plus R, GR. This is phase one, justification. This is phase two, justification. All right. So phase two justification occurs at spiritual maturity when God the Father declares the spiritually mature believer to be GR, grace righteous believer. Five. So the believer is declared to be plus R at salvation, and he is declared to be GR at spiritual maturity. The believer is declared to be plus R. You have God's perfect righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ at salvation. And the believer is declared to be grace righteous, GR, when you attain spiritual maturity. 6. Justification by faith is the judicial act of the justice of God declaring us to be righteous, have His perfect righteousness at the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. Justification by faith is the judicial act of the justice of God, God the Father, declaring us to be plus R, righteous, having His perfect righteousness at the moment we believe in Christ. 7. Justification by grace righteous production is the judicial act of the justice of God declaring us to be a spiritually mature believer, a grace righteous believer. Justification by grace righteous production is the judicial act of the justice of God declaring us to be grace righteous, a spiritually mature believer. All right, and we're going to go through, and this is all documented, and it's fantastic in the Word of God. We're going to look at all these passages. First of all, point two, let's look at phase one justification. And then we will look at phase two justification. First of all, phase one justification. Subpoint one, phase one justification is the culmination of a logical sequence of events at salvation. It's the culmination of a logical sequence of events at salvation. The logical sequence begins with faith in Christ, followed by the imputation of God's righteousness, culminating in the declaration that we are righteous, justified. So phase one justification is the culmination of a logical sequence of events of salvation. That logical sequence begins with faith in Christ, followed by the imputation of God's righteousness to us, culminating in the declaration that we are righteous, plus R. We have God's perfect righteousness, therefore we're justified. Now, these steps occur simultaneously at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. But the point is that there is a logical sequence in simultaneous actions. Okay? Three. Mankind cannot be justified by the justice of God until we possess the same righteousness that God possesses. His perfect righteousness. Mankind cannot be justified by the justice of God until we possess the same righteousness that God possesses. His perfect righteousness. Four. All human categories of self-righteousness and legalistic work systems are totally excluded as a means of justification. All human categories of self-righteousness and legalistic work systems are totally excluded as a means of justification. Five, phase one justification is the possession of God's perfect righteousness imputed to us at the moment of faith in Christ. Phase one justification is the possession of God's perfect righteousness imputed to us at the moment of faith in Christ. Six, phase one justification frees the justice of God to pronounce the fact that we have His perfect righteousness. Phase one justification frees the justice of God to pronounce the fact that we have His perfect righteousness. Now, seven, make sure you understand this. Justification is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is subtraction. But justification is grace addition. Justification is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is subtraction. Well, justification is grace addition. In other words, eight, forgiveness subtracts sin, that's true, but justification adds the righteousness of God. Forgiveness subtracts sin, but justification adds the righteousness of God. Nine, justification is the work of the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. This is the MO, the modus operandi, of the justice of God immediately following the imputation of the righteousness of God. Ten, justification, phase one justification is the completion or consummation of the salvation work of God. Phase one justification is the completion or consummation of the salvation work of God. So let's look at Scripture for phase one justification. Let's turn over first of all to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And then look over at Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace, that's reconciliation with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. And look at Genesis. Genesis 15:6. Genesis 15:6. Abram believed in the Lord. This is the Tetragrammaton, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6. All right, well, I have a lot more passages, but you got to come back next week, get the rest of these passages. There are a lot more passages that teach about justification, but that's just the beginning. Scripture for phase one justification. We'll pick it up at that point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.